so you know, I expect God to do a miracle this morning, okay? You guys need to understand that. I think God's going to do something special this morning. We're in this series about miracles. And I entitled the series with a, well, I can be sarcastic, right? Some of you guys know who I am, and I can be sarcastic. So I entitled the series, Don't Hold Your Breath, all right? Because, you know, yeah, I believe in a miracle, but, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath. You know, miracles always happen for somebody else. You know, somebody else always gets the miracle, you know, or miracles were just a thing of the past. It's just something God did a long time ago, but it's nothing that happens today. And so again, this series, because I want to talk about that I believe, and we as a church here believe, that God does miracles today. And that God's involved in our life. And so I gave a definition here. If you look at your little outline, let me encourage you to get your little outline out. The definition says this: a miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on earth. That when God steps down and into the midst of our world, in the midst of your life and my life, and does something that we just don't understand, that we can't explain, that he intervenes in the midst of our life. Now last week I talked about how God intervenes in the midst of darkness. That there's an evil world out there, and that God steps into the midst of that evil world, into our lives, to protect us. And we've seen that. And so next week I'm going to talk about the power of protection. That there's a miracle there. And then the next week I'm going to talk about how God provides, and how many of us could tell a miracle where God provided from us when we really didn't know where it was going to come from. Anybody have miracles like that? You know, and we see God's hand in that. But today I want to talk about a miracle of healing. Now, most of the time we talk about miracles, most of us, that's where our mind goes, right? To God does something miraculous. Somebody was cured of cancer. Somebody received this. Somebody had this happen. And that God did something miraculously in a healing way. And we see that. And we see it in the Old Testament. If you ever read your Bible, anybody here ever read your Bible? All right, I see some people raising their hands. If you ever read your Bible, there is a lot of healing going on in the Old Testament, okay? You can read through the Old Testament, and God is just all over the place doing miraculous things. And then you come to the New Testament, we see Jesus, born of a virgin. I think that's a pretty good miracle. Anybody else, you know, that's a pretty good miracle. And we have the virgin birth, and we see Jesus, and he comes down to earth, and turn through the Gospels, and you can find over 30 miracles that Jesus did in the Gospels. You know, the blind received the sight, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, the dead were raised. Jesus did miracles, and there's more than 30. And if you read the end of the Gospel of John, it talks about even more than that, probably hundreds of other miracles Jesus did. You know, then you got, you know, I thought about this one this morning for me. It's Paul's preaching. And so Paul's preaching this message. He's at a house and he's preaching. And everybody's just kind of crammed in the house. They're hanging in the windows. They're just all over the house. And Paul's preaching and he's preaching and he's preaching. And fortunately, I'm not like Paul. I don't preach a long time. And Paul preached a long time. And he preached so long, the guy sitting in the window fell out the window. Smacked his head on the ground and he was dead. Nobody's going to die in here, please. All right. You know, and the guy died. And then Paul goes out there, and what does he do? He prays God does a miracle and raises the young man that fell out the window. God does miracles. And I want us to make sure we believe that God does this. That how many of us would really understand that God can reach down and touch a body and make it well? Think about it. That God does miracles. Now, Ron's going to come and share in just a minute. He's getting ready to come out. And most of you had never heard his story. Ron told his story a few years ago, many years ago. I want everybody to hear it again today, because Ron has a story of a miracle that God did in his life. Ron?
Okay. Good morning, everyone. They were going to take wagers back there about when I would get emotional, at what point. I already got emotional on the very first song, so we're already past that a little bit. I'm a little bit nervous today because this is a meaningful time in my life. And the basis of the story is not so much a physical healing, but a healing spiritually. And I hope that comes across in here, but the most important thing is our spiritual growth and our relationship with Christ. And this is what it took, or how I went and how I grew with Christ. But My story began on this miraculous healing 21 years ago, 1997. I might read a lot from my notes because I really don't want to miss out anything. And I was 27 years old. It was 1997, and it was before Linda and I met and before we got married. So, but I was experiencing some pain and went to the family doctor, and he treated it as an infection because he didn't know what it was. But after that treatment, for about a few days or a week or so, he referred me to an oncologist, and the oncologist had me take some more tests, blood tests, things like that. Tests showed that there was some tumor-type thing present. So we removed that tumor within that week of getting those results back, and they got the results from the tumor and had it... first results were, when they first took the tumor out, was that there was cancer. They sent it off for second and third opinions at Stanford and other places, and it was confirmed. There was three different kinds of cancers, and they were very, very gripes of cancer. And so because of that, the oncologist, the doctor, wanted to get more blood tests and more CT scan, or some CT scans, to see, and he wanted me to do it right away because the type of cancer that I had was an aggressive, fast-moving type of cancer. And so we took the test, the CT scans, and that night, it was on a Wednesday night, or Wednesday, CT scan done. And that night, I prayed all night for God's healing, that I didn't want, I didn't want it to have spread. You know, I wanted it to be done, and I didn't want to go through any more. And so that night, I prayed for God's healing. And I had the Bible on cassette tape at that time, when cassette tapes were still around. And I listened to the Bible all night, and I prayed for God's healing. And even as Gary talked last week, he was talking about the power of Jesus' name, praying in Jesus' name, and he even had us all say it out loud, Jesus. And I prayed in that night for Jesus' healing, and I prayed in his name. And I even asked the Holy Spirit to come on me, upon me, and to go throughout my body like a little Pac-Man. I don't know if a lot of people know what Pac-Man is. And eat up the little cancer cells. And so I prayed that night, and I had this peace that I can't understand. I can't even explain it. It makes me emotional to talk about it. This peace can't understand it. So I felt I was healed that night. And so I called my family doctor, not the oncologist, but the family doctor, and I told him what I had done. I told him about my prayer, and I said that I wanted to take another CT scan to prove it. And he said, well, I kind of thought it was a little crazy. And he says, it doesn't happen that fast. You know, he says, the insurance is not going to cover the CT scan, so you can't do it. And I said, well, I'll pay for the CT scan. I don't care. I want to prove that I was healed. He said, okay. So we took the CT scan again. It was on a Friday. So it was Wednesday, I took the first one, prayed, told the doctor about it on Thursday. Friday, I took the second set of CT scans and waited all weekend to find out the results of those tests. And so the next Monday, I picked up the test from the hospital and I went to the oncologist to get the results. And I waited anxiously in his office to find out what he was going to say. And he came in and he told me, he says, it's exactly what he had expected, that the cancer had spread, and the CT scans and blood tests show that. And that my blood tests were elevated, and the CT scans showed that it was in my lymph nodes and in other areas, and I was shocked. But then I was like, but wait a second, did you look at both sets of CT scans? And he says, what do you mean second set of CT scans? And I said, I explained how I prayed, and of course he thought I was crazy. And so he says, okay, let's go look at the second set. So he pulls out the second set of CT scans, and of course, probably right now is when you think, okay, those tests are going to show everything was clean. And they did not. They showed exactly what the first set showed, that the cancer was in my lymph nodes, and there was no difference. I was completely shocked and taken back, and I was like, okay, thinking to myself, God, why? I don't understand. I thought I was healed that night, But I thought to myself, I said, I didn't care what the test showed. That is not a godly, it's a man-made test. I'm believing in God. I know what I felt that night. And I felt that I was healed. And so the doctor explained it to me. He says, the kind of cancers you have are extremely aggressive and they're fast moving. We need to do this surgery right away, within a week, to remove lymph nodes and to make sure that we got it all. And he explained to me, you know, the risk involved. He said that you'll be in the hospital for over a month recovering, and you'd be out of work for at least 6 months with ongoing recovery and chemo and radiation treatments. I said, well, that's a lot to think about right now. Well, let me go home and put it, or I don't know if I said pray about it at that time because you already thought I was crazy, but I did say that I'm going to go think about it, and I'll let you know what I'm going to do. So the next day, I just felt the calling to fast and pray all day, and I did. And I basically flooded myself with God's word. Again, I was listening to those tapes and throughout the day. And I even found out halfway through the day that my family members were also fasting and praying as me, which was very uplifting. And during that time, I still felt that God had healed me, but I didn't understand what the results were showing. So I was also reading a book at that time during that day. It was called Healed of Cancer by Dodie Osteen, and I was listening to a cassette tape also that's called Heaven's Health Food, and what it was a tape that had all the healing verses from the Bible to music, and I was just listening to all those healing verses as I sat there day reading. And I felt that God had led me to a scripture, James 5, verse 14 and 15, and in that verse it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And so I really felt that God was speaking to my heart to have a healing service. And at the time, I was going to St. Anthony's in Manteca. That's where my family goes. So we went and talked to the priest, and I told him I want to have this healing service. And he agreed, and so we had that healing service on that Sunday. But before I had called or had the... Before I went through with it, the healing service I'm talking about, it was the hardest decision I had ever made. And why I say that is because, yes, I wanted to be healed, and I believe I was healed. But it was the biggest fear I had was I didn't want to go out and say I was healed and then misrepresent what God was doing and put God's name in jeopardy. You know what I mean? Like, make God look bad, like, I'm healed, and all of a sudden I'm not healed. It's like it doesn't show that God's powerful. I would rather go through the pain and suffering and not harm God's name, like I have that kind of power to do that anyways. But you know what I'm trying to say. I didn't want to proclaim something that didn't happen. So it was a big decision of going through with the healing service, but I still felt that I was healed, and I really felt that peace that I cannot understand and I can't explain. Words cannot explain it. But so I felt that I wanted to go through with the healing service. And so I, to finish out that day, and my dad had went over to the family doctor's office, and they called me together from there. And they knew that I was praying throughout the day, and they asked me what my decision was. And I want to have this healing service at church, and I don't want to go through with the surgery at this time. I really want to let God do his thing. And so the doctor agreed. To do that, he said, you know, he agreed to allow me to go ahead and do my healing service, but he recommended that I do blood tests every month and CT scans for every 2 months for the next year, just to double check. And I said, okay, I agreed with that just to make him happy. So, and Dad and the family all completely supported my decision, and we went forward. So we had the healing service at church, and there were hundreds of people that attended the service that day. And they laid hands on me and they anointed me with oil. It was much more than a healing service. It was such a huge witness to others. Many people came up to me after the service and they said that they were so touched that they had never felt the Holy Spirit move as much as they had that. I said, so in fact, one lady, she even came up to me and she said, it was towards the end, and she said, Ron, she says, before you leave, I need to talk to you. I go, she says, I've had a vision, and I want to explain what the vision is. I'm like, okay, great, cool, you know. And so at the end of the service, or after saying goodbye to everyone, she came up to me, and the first thing she says, Ron, are you left-handed? And I said, yes, I am, actually. Why? What's that got to do with it? And she says, well, in this vision that I had, I see you crawling up this mountain. And at the top, she says, you got your hands a little bloody, your knees a little bloody from the crawling up there. But she says, I see that you're at the top of the mountain, and Jesus meets you there. And he reaches out with his left hand, and you reach up with your left hand, and you grasp his hands or arms. And he says, it's finished. You are healed. She says, I feel that you're healed, that it's all done. You know, I was taken back. I'm like, I always see that in Jesus' name, that I'm healed. And so a few days later, I was walking through the Christian bookstore here in Modesto, and I saw this picture on the wall, and it actually was kind of the vision that she saw. And Evie, do you have that picture there? And so this is the picture that was in the Christian bookstore with Jesus reaching out with his left hand and me reaching up with mine. It was a little bit out of my budget at the time to purchase the picture, so I didn't buy it, and went on. But to my surprise, Mom went to the store the next day and bought it for me without me even knowing, and presented it to me at the office, at my office. And of course, it was an awesome present. And to this day, it's hanging in my office. I just took that picture yesterday in my office. It's been there for 21 years to always remind me of what happened. So a few days after the healing service, I went and took more CT scans and blood tests. And of course, I anxiously awaited to see what the results were going to be. And this time they came back clean. There was no problems with my lymph nodes. The blood tests were normal. And I kept doing that for the next few months, or actually quite a few years I did that. You know, taking the test, you know, the blood tests and the CT scans, I almost kind of felt guilty doing it because I'm like, God, I know I put my trust and faith in you, but here I'm doing these tests. Where's my faith? But I did it anyways just to prove to myself and just to do it. You know, I wanted to know. And they've always come back for 21 years clean. It's been a while. It's been a couple of years since I've taken a blood test, but all these years I have been doing it sporadically, and everything's been great. But the biggest thing was, you know, we're talking about a physical healing in this situation. But more so, it was a spiritual healing. I've never grown so much in my life, my relationship with Christ during that time period, than any other time. And that was the biggest healing. It was the spiritual, personal growth of my relationship with Christ. Yeah, I got healed physically, but even if I didn't, it was turning to God and listening to that voice of truth. That's why I wanted to sing that song today, the voice of truth, because even to this day there's always those little doubts, little pain comes, little pain here, whatever, and you're like, oh gosh, you know, it's in the back of your mind thinking, it's like, no, I'm listening to God's word, I'm listening to God, what does the voice of truth say? And so it's the relationship with Christ is the most important thing here, not so much the physical. If we can always turn to God, no matter even if we don't get healed physically, it's our spiritual healing, because that is for eternal. And that's the most important thing. I think I just want to finish it right there. I don't think there's much more I want to say. I just want you to take away that part of it, of the healing of the relationship. It's just been a great experience to be so close to Christ. And I grow each day because of it. And I have things in my office, like that picture. I also have like a little plaque that's got the full armor of God and the verses. And I've got pictures of Jesus and things. And even on my computer monitor, I have the word Jesus written out. And I have a cross just on a little sticky note right on my monitor screen with the little cross in red. And the other day, actually it was yesterday or the day before, Karen, my sister here, mentioned, she says, my nephew Danny, she went into his room, and she says, I want to be like Uncle Ron. He's got this little cross. He put this little sticky note on his picture in his little room. And she showed me that picture, and it just meant a lot to me that These are the influences that we can have on people when we do little things like that. You don't even know it. You don't even realize how you're having an effect on people. So I hope this touched you in some way or somehow. And I hope that you can take it to your heart and just know my heart that I was very nervous coming out here to do this. I know a lot of people are struggling with different things right now, physically and mentally, whatever it may be, spiritually. But I just hope and pray that you will grow in Christ. And that's what I want you to take away from this. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that. I believe God does miracles. I believe God's still in the miracle business. You got your little outline there. There's a verse I wanted to read to you. It says this, "I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus is in heaven, sitting next to the right hand of God, interceding for us. The name of Jesus has power. We shared that last week. The name of Jesus has power. He does miracles. But my question this morning is going to boil down to this. And Ron kind of laid it out. What happens when we know God can do it? When we believe God can do it, and it doesn't happen? What does that do to our faith? What does that do to our walk with God? We believe God can do it. How many of us can identify? We've prayed. You know, grandma's got cancer and we're praying for grandma. And she still passes. You got a daughter and they're battling depression and they're at that teenage years and it's really a hard battle. And you're praying for that daughter and they still have bouts of depression. How do we answer and how do we wrestle with when God doesn't do something? So I got a little blank there I wanted you to fill in. I wrote it this way. Our God heals, but it doesn't heal everyone all the time. Is that true? How does that go on? You know, is God fair? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want God to be fair for me because I'd be in trouble if God was fair. All right? Does God care? You know, when God doesn't do it, does he care? Does he not care? When God doesn't do it, is it because he's not all powerful? What happens to us when God doesn't step in? And it's nothing new. Yeah, here, let me give stories out of the scriptures here, out of the Bible. Paul on his third missionary journey going around, here's a man of God, and he's got a team with him, all right? He's got some team members with him. And he's going around planting these churches. And as he's planting these churches and he's teaching about God, he has this as he writes. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, excuse the pronunciations, who was ill at Miletus. Don't you like names like that? Here's a guy doing God's work and he's sick. Yeah. Could God heal him? Could God have said, okay, I'm going to heal you so you can get back on the boat and go on? And the guy was too sick, couldn't get on the ship. Continue the journey. Yeah. But God can, and he didn't. How about a guy named Timothy? One of Paul's other associates. Paul was his mentor. Paul was teaching Timothy and leading Timothy to become a great leader and a worker for God. And Timothy had a stomach issue. We don't know what it was. All we know is what it says right here. Look at what Timothy. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine. I want to make sure. A little wine, okay? A little wine. You know, there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine with dinner. I'm not going to do that, but there's nothing wrong with that. A little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Here's again another guy who, you know, well, if you serve God, you're not going to have problems. Oh, wait a minute. You know, here's Timothy. He has a problem. And then you got Paul. You know, these guys ran with Paul. Here's Paul planting churches, going over all the known world he could go, teaching and explaining and laying out the gospel of God. And Paul's got an ailment. We don't know what it was. He calls it a thorn in his side. Anybody ever get a thorn in your side? Not your spouse, okay? Don't blame your spouse. All right? But Paul had this thorn in his side. We don't know what it is. I know many scholars think it might have been something with his eyes because some of his writings talk about having somebody write for me and read for me. And so we really don't know what it was. But he prayed to God. Not once. And that's the way it says it. It says he pleaded with God. I mean, he's coming to God repeatedly, pleading with God. God, I want to serve you. I'm trying to serve you, God, but this is just, this ailment is killing me. It's hurting me. It's making it difficult to do this, God. And he's praying and he's seeking God to heal him. And God doesn't. Here's what it says. But he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's saying, even though I haven't had the power of healing, I still got the power of God. Is that okay? You get the picture? You know, we might not get the power of the healing, but God still has that power. And he's saying, I've got this power. What do we do when we pray and we seek God and we're asking for God to do a miracle and it doesn't happen? We know he can. We've seen him do it for others. What do we do when we pray and we ask God, God, why? God, now, some Christians give you some excuses. Now, has anybody ever met some Christians that can be hurtful? Anybody ever meet hurtful Christians? Don't raise your hand. You know, some Christians can be hurtful, you know, because some Christians will say, well, you're just not praying right. You know, if you just prayed the right way, you'd be healed. You know? Or some would say, you must have some sin in your life. You know, you're hiding something, and you just got some sin in your life. And if you just get that sin out of your life, then you wouldn't have this issue. I've heard these. Anybody else hear these? Yeah. You know, well, you just don't have enough faith. Yeah, if you just had enough faith, God would heal you. You know, that's very hurtful. You know, so why doesn't God? You know, why in the midst of our lives and we believe and we know and we trust God, and yet he doesn't do it? So I'm going to give you three things real quick. I'm going to do things when God doesn't do a miracle. Three reasons why God will not and may not step into the midst of a miracle in your life, okay? Let me just give you three of those real quick. Jesus refused to perform miracles to prove himself. I'm not going to prove myself. No. Has anybody ever prayed like this? Now, don't raise your hand when I get done, okay? Because you don't want to raise your hand on this one, all right? You ever pray something like this? God, if you do da-da-da-da-da, I will be in church every Sunday. I'll pray every day. I'll go to Bible study during the week. God, if you will just... Anybody ever barter with God? You know, it's like, God, if you... You know, God doesn't perform miracles to prove himself. You know, I wrestled with this when I was writing the outline. I'm going, well, I often pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I will pray this. I got people I pray for. God, will you do thus and so to show your God? Anybody ever pray? I pray that one. You know, God, heal this so we can show the hand of God and that they'll become a believer. I pray stuff like that. But I'm not praying for God to put a show on. God, we want to see a show. The Pharisees did. Look at what it says. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him, testing him. They demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed. I like the way it says it. He heard this. You got to come and show. And Jesus says, come on. You know, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth. I will not give this generation any such sign. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't need to prove himself. I'm going to be honest with you. My book, when Jesus rose from the grave, that's proof enough for me, okay? I mean, you know, here's a dead man, dead 3 days in a tomb, rolled down. It's gone. It's over. And all of a sudden, he's back walking around and eating. It's like, hey, man, you don't have to prove anything to me anymore. You know, that's okay with me now. It's proved it already. We don't need that. But God does do miracles. But sometimes, he's not going to put a show on. It's not, he has to prove himself. Our faith is based on who God is, not what God does. All right? How about this next one? I put here, Jesus never performed a miracle that interfered with God's plan. God has a plan for every one of our lives. Everybody on board with that one? You were not born by accident. God had a plan. God had a vision for every life. And when Jesus did miracles, it never interfered with God's plan. He has an ultimate plan. And sometimes it requires things that are very devastating and hurtful in our lives. And sometimes those things make a difference in us. And so God does not do miracles if it's going to interfere with that ultimate plan of God. And there's a great story in the Bible. Well, there's a great event. Let me put not a story. It's an event in the Bible, okay? Anybody familiar with Jesus getting arrested? Anybody kind of familiar? You know, one night Jesus was in the upper room, had the Lord's Supper, you know, talked to his disciple. A guy named Judas went out and betrayed him. And they're coming to arrest Jesus. He's in the garden. Judas comes up and kisses Jesus on the cheek. You know, and here's these soldiers with this come to arrest Jesus. And Peter whips out his sword and just whacks off some guy's ear. Doesn't that sound like fun? You know, it's like, whoosh. Hey, that guy's earless now. You know, and then Jesus, no. That's not how this is going to end. This is not how this is going to go. And I can just imagine, everybody find his ear. You know, it's all dark out there, everybody crawling around on the ground trying to find this guy's ear. You know, I don't know if that's what happened. But Jesus just reached up and touched the guy's ear. And what did he do? He healed the guy's ear. That night went on, and now Jesus is before all these leaders, and they're demanding answers to Jesus, demanding Jesus to do something, and sharing all this stuff. And Jesus, I like what Jesus said here. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will not let one in me more than 12 legions of angels? He's saying, they're saying, you know, hey, we're on trial. He says, I could have a miracle right now. You guys think you're so bad? I can call down angels from heaven. You guys would be history. You'd be toast. You know, it'd be over for you. But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? He says, God has a plan. Jesus says, I could call down angels. I could have a miracle right now. Step into this and I can walk out this door and the guy's standing there. But God has a plan. See, right? The same thing. You know, here's a miracle and then just a few moments later, there's no miracle. Because sometimes it doesn't fit God's plan. And what God is doing. So miracles don't happen when God wants to prove himself, that you want God to prove him. Miracles don't happen when it's going to go against God's ultimate plan, when it's going to go against what God has planned. And I got this last one here. It says this. Jesus never performed a miracle. Oh, excuse me. I'm down at the next one. Jesus didn't do a miracle where there was no faith. I told you there's over 30 miracles in the scriptures. You go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find more than 30. The Gospel of John ends with a statement that they did many more miracles than this, probably hundreds more miracles than this. But he comes to his own hometown. He comes to the town where he was raised, a town where he had spent his whole life growing up for the first 30 years of his life. And he says, I can't do miracles there because they have no faith. Look at Matthew 13:58. So he did not do many miracles there because they had no faith. They didn't have the faith. You know, it's Jesus. We know Jesus. I faced this when I first entered the ministry. I went to college, came to seminary, was going to come back and help my church in Sacramento that I grew up in after I turned 7. There was people in the church that didn't want me there because they knew me before I became a Christian. They lived around the corner from my house, you know, and they knew who Gary was, became a Christian, and they didn't want me leading anything in the church. You know, anybody have that? You know, you go home and you're just... You know, so Jesus goes home and he couldn't do miracles because of faith. But here's what I want us to think about. I'm not talking about how big your faith is. He's not saying you got to have big faith. Matter of fact, he talks about having faith as a... Anybody know that one? Mustard seed. And what's the mustard seed? The smallest little seed you can find. And so it's not about how big your faith is. And here's what I want to write. Maybe we want to write this. Faith is a verb. Faith is action. And that's what I want us to think about, that it's, do we have this wow faith? I'm going to ask you about your prayers. You know, anybody prayed this last week? Don't raise your hand again. I don't want to embarrass anybody that didn't. But, you know, if you prayed this last week, how big were your prayers? God, thank you for dinner. That's okay. That's good. Anybody pray a wow prayer this week? A prayer that God step into this world and intervene in the earth? Anybody ever pray prayers like that? See, how big of our prayer? See, that's faith. That's what he's talking about, that faith. That faith that moves our heart. Because faith moves the heart of God, and it should move our heart. And that's what moves God, and God intervenes, and God does things in our life as we do that. So all it takes is just a little faith. A little faith. It's not a lot of faith. It's like, well, you got to believe. You got to step out. And no, it's, do you have faith? That God who says, I can do even greater things today than he did. We have testimonies we can tell. We have stories we can tell. But it's faith. Here's a great story. I started it last week. I told you the story last week in last week's message. The, the man who had a son that had, we don't know what it was, but he kept throwing himself, some kind of seizure disorder. He would throw himself, he'd fall into the fire pit. He was having all these seizures and just health issues. And his dad was just brokenhearted. And the scripture talks about his dad going to Jesus just broken and pleading. And you know, God, you can do something. And God, you can move in this. And he's asking God to step into the midst of this situation. And as he's praying, Jesus says to him, and listen, I want you to hear what he said to Jesus. Look what he said. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my..." I thought it might be a good verse for us to memorize. What do you guys think? You know, when we're praying for miracles, would this be a good verse to have? You know, God, I need and I have faith. God, I trust you. I really do believe in you. Does anybody have roller coaster faith besides me? Now, you can raise your hand on that one. You know, sometimes your faith is up here, you know, it's like you can walk on water, man. Ooh, we got it. You know, and then sometimes your faith is, oh God, I'm in trouble. You know? Yeah. And sometimes we need to be praying. I need this faith that I need help with my faith. I trust you, I believe in you, I count on you, I know you're the mighty God, I know you do great things. I've seen your hand, I've read the stories, God. But God, right now, help my unbelief. That's what the father prayed. That's what the father asked. And I see this and I hear this story. And I want you to think about that, you know, because it's that faith. There was a woman, and I'm going to quote a couple of stories in the scriptures for you. A woman who had 12 years of bleeding, this embarrassing and this ailment for 12 years. She was hurting. Hurting for 12 years. And in her mind, she's just going, hey, Jesus is in town. If I just touch his coat, his outer garment, if I just touch his coat. And so one day she had the opportunity. And she reached out and touched just the cloak of Jesus. And Jesus knew something happened. Something in him told him a power, something transformed that lady's life, and Jesus felt it flow through him. And he turns to her and says, "Your faith has made you whole." He did a miracle. You know, there's this soldier, this centurion soldier who has a slave. And the slave isn't well, the slave is sick. And he goes and he finds Jesus, and he goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, can you heal? Can you heal my slave?" And Jesus says, "Okay." And then the soldier says, "You don't have to go, Jesus. You don't have to go to my house, Jesus. I'm a soldier. I know you can say it. When I say something to somebody, they have to obey. I don't have to be there. You can say it from where you're at right here, and my slave could be healed right now." And Jesus says, "I've never seen somebody with faith like that." That the guy didn't need a touch. The guy didn't even need to touch Jesus. All he needed to do is the name of Jesus. And God did a miracle. But what happens when he doesn't do that? How do we walk when he doesn't do that? And so I put these words down here, and I want you to fill in these blanks. I think these are so important. Our faith isn't based on what God does. Our faith is based on who God is. All right? Sometimes we're going to have miracles. God is going to do something that we can't explain, we don't understand, and we're going to stand there in awe. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's going to be sometimes God didn't do something. And we're going to stand there not understanding. Instead of being in awe, we're going to wonder what in the world and why not. But our faith is in God no matter what. Isn't that what Ron was saying in the end? Is it no matter what, God? My faith's in you. My faith's in you. And I want us to think about that this morning. I'm going to tell you another story in the Bible, and then we're going to do something that some of you are going to think, this is weird, but you know what? I'm weird, so you live with it, okay? You know? See, there's a story in the Bible. There's a guy. Make sure I got this right here. There's a guy. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. Can't get around. But he's got some friends, okay? Fortunately, he's got some friends. And they hear Jesus is in town. And so Jesus is in town, and he's at a house. And so they go to their friend's house. They put him on a stretcher, and they take corners of the stretcher, and they start going to the house. And as they get near the house, they look at the house, and the house is packed. There is no room. They can't get near the front door. They can't get near a window. There is no way into this house. They are stuck with their friend looking at this house packed full of people. So they go home. No, they don't go home. All right? They go on top of the house. They get on the roof, and they start tearing the roof up. Call the insurance company, right? Yeah. They start tearing the roof up. They take all this roof around. Here's this paralyzed guy. And they take all this stuff down. And they begin to lower this man on the stretcher in front of Jesus. Anybody on board with that? And they lower the man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the man, and this is what he says. And Jesus saw their faith. Why don't you circle that word, faith? Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I think that's important. He lowered the man down, and God says, "Your sins are forgiven." Here's the point. First point. Got another one coming. First point. You know, the God Jesus came to heal our souls, not always our health. Is that okay? You know, the most thing to heal in our life is our soul. He healed this guy's soul. I healed. You are forgiven. He touched this guy's soul. He healed. That's why Jesus came. Not to make us all healthy, wealthy, and wise, but to make us right with God. And he healed this man's soul. And then they had some conversations going on. And then Jesus says this, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." He healed his soul. He healed his health. Stand up. Because of whose, I want to ask you this, whose faith was it? Whose faith? Was it the guy's faith or his four friends? Do friends make a difference? You know? We don't know. I don't know about his faith. It could have been his faith and their faith. All that played into it. But they had faith. They had faith. Now here's what I know this morning. I know there's some this morning who need healing. Anybody? I know there's some. There's some that need physical healing. They need God to touch them physically. There's some health issue. There's something going on, and you need God to touch you physically. There's some here that need that. I know there's some here that need healing emotionally. There's stress. There's anxiety. There's depression. There's those hardness in our lives. And we need God to touch us there. Is that a miracle? So I told you I'm going to be weird this morning. So you're going to put up with me. So here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. Just like those four friends brought Jesus and brought that man to Jesus and lowered him there, we're bringing you to God this morning. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor this morning. If you need a touch from God, if you need a miracle in your life, you need God to move, you need God to step in, physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is, would you just stand up right now? Who's going to be first? Who's going to have the courage to stand up first? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Stand up. All right? Because I believe God does miracles. But also, we have friends, right? So here are the rest of us. Some of you, you need to go stand next to somebody and put your hand on. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Put your hand on their back. Some of you guys are sitting down. Some of you guys need to stand up. Just lay your hand on somebody. Lay your hand on them. All right? Just put your hand on somebody. So I want us to bow our heads. Nobody has to pray out loud, okay? Listen to me. Nobody has to pray out loud. But I want you praying right now. I want to begin, and again, you can just pray quietly. I'm going to pray in a minute, so don't worry. But I want you to pray right now. Pray for a strength of faith. God, help my unbelief. I don't know what it is. Pray that God help my unbelief. God, just at this moment, God, multiply my faith. God, in the name of Jesus, just let God use you. Just silence. Now I'm going to pray. God, you know us so well. You created us. You know the numbers of our hairs on our head. You even know the thoughts conceived in our hearts before we even vocalize them. You are God, and you perform miracles. We're coming to you today, Lord, as a child, longing to hear from you and asking for your divine healing. There's so much we don't understand about life that we do know that with one touch, one word, you can make us whole. Please forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And begin your healing process from inside, Lord. We don't always know what your will is, Lord, especially in times like now. When we desperately seek your face, we offer no promises, no bargains, no deals to exchange for our health. We simply bow our hearts before you to tell you the desires of our heart, that we want to spend as many years as we can loving you here, loving others, and wanting to become more like you. However you choose to accomplish this is up to you. If you use doctors to provide healing, give them wisdom to know what to do. Regardless of how you accomplish it, Lord, the healing is yours to give and is always miraculous, and you deserve the praise. We absolutely believe you have the power to heal. You demonstrated it on earth, and you will heal in miraculous ways today. Even when our faith is weak, you say it is enough, and our love for you is strong. And we know you already hold our hearts, our lives, in your hands. It is up to you. If we can bring you more glory through healing, then that's what we ask for. That's what we desire. But if your answer is no, and not now, we know that there is grace is sufficient for us. Ultimately, we want you, your will, to be our will. We look forward to spending an eternity with you, but Lord, if you have planned still more for us here on earth, we not only need and want physical health, but that our thoughts deep down cleanse us and strengthen us, a whole heart, renewal of all that we are, because all of we are all of you. Use these trials to strengthen us from the what-ifs of faith to a no-matter-what faith, and no matter what, we choose to honor you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and find our seats, wherever you want to sit. You can sit right where you're at. You all had to move. That's all right. But I wanted to make sure. I wanted a prayer time. Just so you know, we're going to do our 40-day study. Dan and I were talking. Dan gave me another idea, so you can blame this one on Dan. We're going to do a 40-day study come January on prayer. And I already planned on sometime we're going to walk around Salida again. I've done it three times. We're going to do it again. We'll walk around all of Salida on this side of 99, okay? That's my walk. Do that again. So I want to do that during the 40 days of prayer. And we're probably going to have a special healing service during the 40 days of prayer. So be praying about that, you know, and praying what God can do. I think that would be something great for us to do, and I thought it was a great idea. So we're going to have a great time in our 40 days of prayer. But I want to make sure you know right now that God wants to heal you. If you've never crossed that invisible line, if you've never said, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, I want to do them yours, to my life and take control, you need to make that decision. That's what a Christian is. Well, I was raised in a Christian home. That doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Well, Grandpa was a Christian preacher. Well, that doesn't make a difference. Yeah. It's a point in your life where I say it this way, God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours, to my life and take control. I ask you to pray that prayer. Maybe there's some other battles in your life, but I just ask that God will bless you. Cross that line and serve him. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for your wisdom.